Chapter 9. The Game is Baccarat. Bond looked round, but there was no possibility of being overheard, and the caviar would be waiting for the hot toast from the kitchens. "Tell me." His eyes glittered with interest.
"They got the third Bulgar on the road to Paris. He was in a Citroën, and he had picked up two English hikers as protective colouring. At the roadblock his French was so bad that they asked for his papers, and he brought out a gun and shot one of the motorcycle patrol. But the other man got him, I don't know how, and managed to stop him committing suicide. Then they took him down to Rouen and extracted the story, in the usual French fashion, I suppose. Apparently they were part of a pool held in France for this sort of job, saboteurs, thugs, and so on, and Mathis's friends are already trying to round up the rest. They were to get 2 million francs for killing you, and the agent who briefed them told them there was absolutely no chance of being caught if they followed his instructions exactly." She took a sip of vodka. "But this is the interesting part. The agent gave them the two camera cases you saw. He said the bright colours would make it easier for them. He told them that the blue case contained a very powerful smoke bomb. The red case was the explosive. As one of them threw the red case, the other was to press a switch on the blue case, and they would escape under cover of the smoke. In fact, the smoke bomb was a pure invention to make the Bulgars think they could get away. Both cases contained an identical high-explosive bomb. There was no difference between the blue and the red cases. The idea was to destroy you and the bomb-throwers without trace. Presumably there were other plans for dealing with the third man."
"Go on," said Bond, full of admiration for the ingenuity of the double-cross.
"Well, apparently the Bulgars thought this sounded very fine, but cannily they decided to take no chances. It would be better, they thought, to touch off the smoke bomb first, and from inside the cloud of smoke hurl the explosive bomb at you. What you saw was the assistant bomb-thrower pressing down the lever on the phony smoke bomb, and of course they both went up together. The third Bulgar was waiting behind the Splendide to pick his two friends up. When he saw what had happened, he assumed they had bungled. But the police picked up some fragments of the unexploded red bomb, and he was confronted with them. When he saw that they had been tricked, and that his two friends were meant to be murdered with you, he started to talk. I expect he's still talking now, but there's nothing to link all this with Le Chiffre. They were given the job by some intermediary, perhaps one of Le Chiffre's guards, and Le Chiffre's name means absolutely nothing to the one who survived."
She finished her story just as the waiters arrived with the caviar, a mound of hot toast, and small dishes containing finely chopped onion and grated hard-boiled egg, the white in one dish and the yolk in another. The caviar was heaped onto their plates, and they ate for a time in silence. After a while, Bond said, "It's very satisfactory to be a corpse who changes places with his murderers. For them it certainly was a case of being hoist with their own petard.